gaps this evening. Some told me this morning that when they heard that I was speaking that they wouldn't be here. They almost had like a sound of glee in their voice when they said that. I'm just kidding. This lesson, I put this lesson together just as a means of talking to someone about the scriptures, having a one-on-one study. And so it's just a basic lesson, just some points taken from the book of John. And originally I had it in mind, I was thinking maybe if I met someone who maybe didn't know that much about the New Testament, try to pique their interest in reading the book of John. And so that's the basis of this lesson. And what I'd like to do this evening is just look at just a few lessons from the Lord in the book of John, just some lessons that I think the Lord would want us to get from this account of His gospel. One thing I think the Lord would want us to know as we read through the book of John and remember from the book of John is to know His works. In John chapter 20, here in this chapter, Jesus had risen from the dead, and He saw Mary. And then the disciples were gathered together, and the doors were shut. But Jesus appeared to them in the room, but the man Thomas wasn't there. The disciple Thomas was not there at that time. And whenever the disciples told Thomas about how that they had seen the Lord, Thomas said, I feel the nail prints in His hand, and I feel where the sword had pierced His side. I'm not going to believe. And so 8 days later, they were all gathered together in the room, and the doors were shut again. And Jesus appeared and said to Thomas in verse 27, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto Him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus didn't dissuade that at all, did He? "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen Me, thou hast believed. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed." And many other, and here's these next two verses are really what I wanted to look at. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." So one lesson I believe the Lord would want us to know in this letter of John is to know His works. Why? Well, because they show that He is the Son of God, that He's the Christ, the Son of God. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, someone says, what we need to do is we just need to make sure everyone knows that Jesus is the Son of God. But really, maybe go deeper than that. People aren't lost because it's not because they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but it's because of sin. In John 8:24, Jesus said, "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins." One time Jesus told him, where I'm going, you cannot come. You'll die in your sins. For if you believe not that I'm He, you shall die in your sins. Jesus, we might say, is the remedy. He's the cure. But the disease is sin. But Jesus had these works written down in the book of John so that we might know that He is the Son of God. And that believing, we might have life in His name. In John chapter 3, there was a man, Nicodemus, that came to Jesus by night. And here's what he said in verse 2, John 3, verse 2. He said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." Why? Why would he make that statement? "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus, you're doing all of these wondrous works. And really, that shows that God is behind you. Jesus went and He was proclaiming that He was the Son of God. He was from the Father. And then He would work miracles and that backing His claim. Nicodemus said, "No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." As just taking a breeze through the book of John, looking at looking at the miracles that we see in the book of John. And I'd just like to just briefly mention these. Will, I'd like to hone in on the very last one in John chapter 11. But in John chapter 2, in the first 11 verses, and in these miracles, Jesus is showing His power over nature. He's showing His power over disease and death and the spirit world. In this first part of John chapter 2, He turns water, several pots of water, into grape juice, showing His power over nature. John chapter 2 and verse 19, the Jews were asking Him for a sign. What sign showest Thou unto us, seeing that Thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, His body He was referring to, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus had a part in His own resurrection. There's a song that we sing, He broke the bars. You know, he walked through, and he had a part in His own resurrection. In 3 days I will raise it up. In John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54, there was a nobleman's son that was at the point of death, and Jesus healed him. In John chapter 5, in the first 15 verses, there was a man that had been lame for 38 years, and Jesus healed him. In John chapter 6, verses 5 through 14, there were 5,000 men. He fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. John, the end of John chapter 6, Jesus walked on the water. That miracle, I mean, all of them I would have loved to have seen, but especially walking on the water. Just imagine someone standing on a rolling sea and walking on the water. In John chapter 9, in the first 7 verses, there was a man that was blind from birth, and Jesus gave him sight. And then in John chapter 11, let's turn over there with me and let's just read some here in the book of John, John chapter 11. And I think I'd like to just read, beginning in verse 1. And I think you'll see as we get near the end, the reason why I want to look specifically at this example. But again, what we're looking at is one thing I think Jesus wants us to learn from the book of John is to know His works. Why? Again, because they show, they help us to see that He's the Christ, the Son of God. In John chapter 11, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair. That's in chapter 12. And you know, there was a grumbling about Mary. You know, why wasn't this ointment sold for money and given to the poor? Well, this is that Mary. And she anointed him with oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. So we're going to Judea. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. And the disciples didn't understand at first. You know, if somebody's sleeping, you know, no big deal, Lord. He'll wake up. People sleep every day. And his disciples say, Lord, if he's asleep, he'll do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, remember Thomas from John chapter 20, except I feel these prints in his hand, nail prints in his hand. Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. Then Jesus came and he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know, even now, that whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. So he was saying this in front of all of those people, telling, basically showing them who he was addressing and who was backing him and who was going to give him this power. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things which Jesus did, believed on him. But back in verse 41 and 42, again is the point. Jesus proclaimed to all of those around, Father, I said this that they might believe. I thank you that you have heard me. Lazarus, come forth. Again, one thing that I think the Lord would want us to know as we read through the book of John and see these works that he performed, all of these things showing his power over disease and demons and death and all of these things, they show us that God the Father is behind him. They show us that he is the Son of God. And we see here many believing on him through these miracles. In Luke chapter 7, verse 22, John the Baptist was in prison, and he sent some disciples to Jesus and said, Are you the one we're looking for? And Jesus told these men to go back to John and tell him this. Luke 7, verse 22. Let me get over there. Jesus answered and he said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. One thing, Jesus would want us to know from the book of John is his works. They show us that he is the Son of God. A second thing I think Jesus would want us to know from the book of John is to follow his word. Follow his word. Look with me in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, I want to look at verses 31 and 32, but jump back with me to verse 28. Jesus said to some, he said, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So Jesus You know, he's saying the things that I'm saying came from the Father. And later on, you know, in John chapter 16, verse 13, he was saying that the Holy Spirit was going to take from his. You know, everything came from the Father. But Jesus said, the Father taught me, and I'm speaking just what came from God. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In John chapter 10, turn with me also to John chapter 10. So here, there in John chapter 8, verse 31, 32, Jesus is letting us know how critical his word is. We've got to continue in his word to be truly his disciple. Continue in his word, we can know the truth. You know, we want assurance. We don't want to give any assurance that God doesn't give, but we have assurance if we continue in his word. And we can know the truth. And the truth can set us free. In John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, and let me start back in verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. That's just what we got through looking at earlier. The works that he did show that God was behind him, backing him. In verse 26, but ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear what? His voice. If we are of the Lord, then we're listening to his voice. He wants us to know in this book of John how critical his word is and how that we need to follow it. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If we're listening to Jesus' voice, following him, Satan's not going to have us. Satan can't have us. No one's going to pluck us out of Jesus' hand. Well, but let me ask you a few things about this. Can someone say that, well, I can tell that, you know, Brent or you, or that they're following the Lord? You know, could someone tell by maybe our Facebook posts or our Twitter or our whatever, the way that we talk, the way that we dress? Could someone say and tell that we're really following Jesus? We're following his way. Here in John chapter 10 also, in verses 28 and 29, some would use this passage to say that can't be lost. Because see, here it says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, yeah, if we continue in his word, we follow him, we'll never perish. And no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand. Let me give you an illustration. Say there were a couple of boys, we'll call one of them Huckleberry, we'll call the other one Tom. And say Huck had a frog in his hand, and Tom wanted that frog. He was trying to pluck it out of Huck's hand. and Huck said, no, you can't have this frog. And he was holding on to it, and he wouldn't let Tom pluck the frog out of his hand. You know, that frog just up and jumped out of his hand. But we wouldn't say that Tom plucked it out of his hand. No, we'd say, no, that Tom wasn't able to pluck it out of his hand, but you know, that frog, he jumped out of his own accord, of his own free will. You know, in Hebrews chapter 3, in verse 12, describes some. And here in Hebrews 3, he gives an example of Old Testament Israel and how that some fell into unbelief. And he says in verse 12, and he's warning us to be careful and watch out that we don't develop an evil heart of unbelief. Why? He says in verse 12, take heed, brethren. Watch out, brethren. He's talking to Christians. Watch out. Why would you tell someone to watch out if they couldn't do anything other? If the warning you were giving them didn't matter? It doesn't make any sense, does it? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You can jump out of God's hand. Satan's not going to pluck you out. You're following him. You're continuing in his word. You're listening to the Lord. You love the Lord. Satan can't have you. But you know, you can be like Demas and love this present world and leave. Just leave. You can be like Old Testament Israel and develop an evil heart of unbelief and leave the Lord of your own free will. You see, John 10 is not describing someone leaving like in Hebrews 3, leaving of their own free will. John 10 is describing someone who's listening to the Lord and following him. Satan can't have him. Satan can't pluck him out of God's hand. In John, back in the book of John, again, the point we're looking at is the critical nature of Jesus' word, and how that another lesson that I think Jesus would want us to know from the book of John is follow his word. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. In John 15 and verse 14, he said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So the Lord's word is critical, isn't it? We show our love to the Lord. We show that he's our friend if we do his will. Back in John chapter 15 and verse 4, we've got to abide in him. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. So if we continue in his word, we're truly his disciples. If we follow him, if we keep his commandments, we show our love to him. We show that we're his friend. We're abiding in him. You know, John said later in 2 John, turn with me to 2 John verse 9. 2 John and verse 9. John said, whosoever transgresses, you know, he breaks it. He goes on. He doesn't stay in God's word. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, not just the doctrine about Christ, but the doctrine of Christ. You know, like we said earlier in John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's coming. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to take of mine and show it to you. This new covenant, this new testament is Jesus' words. But whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So we've got to stay in Jesus' word. We've got to abide in him. It's critical to follow Jesus' word. Well, third, one more thing I'd like us to look at. And this really goes along with this, the second point of following his word, but I wanted to break it out specifically. A third lesson I think the Lord would want us to know in the book of John is he'd want us to know and to enter his way. Because Jesus is the way to the Father. We see here in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way to the Father. So as we read through the book of John, we see the miracles that he did. That shows us that he's Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ. He shows us the importance of following his word, abiding in him, staying with him, because he is the way to the Father. In John chapter 3, in verses 3, 4, and 5. Remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, Lord, Master, we know that you came from God, because no man can do these miracles that you're doing except God be with him. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You want to go to heaven? You want to be saved? Got to be born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So this new birth, being born of water and of the Spirit, you've got to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Let's talk more about that, because that we want to be a part of Jesus' way. We want to be a part of him so that we can see the Father. What does it mean to be born of water and the Spirit? I think Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, to me it really helps understand what it means to be born of the Spirit. And we'll start with that, with the last part first, being born of water and the Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Peter says, seeing you, he's talking to Christians, seeing you have purified your souls, okay? You brethren, you're clean and white, you're pure, you're sanctified. You have purified your souls how? In obeying the truth through the Spirit. In obeying the truth through the Spirit. So here, again, John 16, verse 13, the Holy Spirit was going to guide the disciples into all truth. The Holy Spirit was going to take of Jesus' word and show it to them. The Holy Spirit gives us His Word, this Word of God. You have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. So the Spirit revealed the truth, and we obey it, and we have our souls purified. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. So he's talking about being born again, same kind of thing that we were looking at there in John chapter 3. This new birth, being born again. Peter's talking about being born again. You've obeyed the truth through the Spirit. You're born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So what is Peter describing had a part in the new birth, being born again? They obeyed the truth, right? And that truth came through the Spirit. They were born again by the Word of God. So this Word of God given by the Holy Spirit had a part in this new birth. They were born of the Spirit. To me, I think that just helps so much to understand Jesus' words there in John chapter 3 and verse 5. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us His Word, and we can be born again by listening to and following the words of the Spirit. Being born of water in the Spirit. Let me ask you, what in the Scriptures, what significance does water have to salvation? Whenever you read water in connection with salvation, what significance does water have in connection to being saved? Well, one passage I think about is in Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But He said in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There's a connection of water to salvation in baptism. It's the only significance I know of that water has in connection with salvation is in baptism. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 37, this man from Ethiopia, Philip, taught him the gospel. It started there in Isaiah chapter 53 and was the prophecy about Jesus. And as they were talking and riding in this chariot, they came to some water. And this man from Ethiopia said, see, here's water. What does hinder me from, what's keeping me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou, in verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe, you may be baptized. Again, he's hearing and learning about Jesus being the Son of God, dying for our sins, and they come to some water. Well, here's water. What's keeping me from being baptized? What significance does water have in connection with salvation? In baptism, right? Being born of water and the Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So what have we seen? Just a short lesson. What have we seen? Just 3 points. Some lessons from the Lord in the book of John. What are some things the Lord would want us to know in the book of John? He'd want us to know His works. They show us that He is the Son of God. He wants us to know His Word. Continue in His Word that we might know this way to life and get into this way that leads to life. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, what about you? Do you want to be one of the sons of God? Jesus said in John chapter 1 and verse 12, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. What about it? Are you willing to become a son of God? Again, back there in John chapter 20 and verse 31, Jesus was showing that these works that He did, show that He is the Son of God, and that believing, He said, we might have life through His name. I'd encourage you to grab a hold of life and believe in the name of the Lord. So let's stand and sing.